Welcome to Thoughtcast, also podcast on the web at www.thoughtcast.org. I am Jenny Atiyah. You might not have noticed, but we're living in a three-dimensional sinkhole on a weak gravity brain alongside an infinite, warped, fifth-dimensional space called the bulk. At least that's what the influential Harvard physicist Lisa Randall says might be the case. So far, all she has is a theory, but very soon now, this theory will be tested, and we'll find out if our universe is just one of many in a multidimensional, multiverse cosmos, or not. Lisa Randall, welcome to Thoughtcast.
Thank you for having me here.
Lisa, you've recently published a book called Warped Passages, Unraveling the Mysteries of the Universe's Hidden Dimensions. And though it's written for the layman, clearly these concepts are incredibly difficult ones to describe. Can you help us out? Give us a word picture of what you think of, what you see when you think about this warped passage, this theory of yours.
Well, I'm going to start with a disclaimer and say that what I say in my book, which is that I think with extra dimensions, a word is worth a thousand pictures. It's just very hard to actually picture extra dimensions. It's really something we understand both mathematically and sort of abstractly, inductively. But basically what I do picture is something where we have a big higher dimensional space, that is to say extra dimensions we don't perceive. We might be stuck in one location in the extra dimension. That's this notion of a brain, which I'm sure we'll come back to. But it could be we're stuck in one place, but this extra dimension could extend either forever or just a finite distance away. But just the things that we're used to just by knowing about our 3+1 dimensional world, the world with three dimensions of space and one of time, things can be dramatically different if there's another dimension.
Now, a brain stands for a membrane.
Right. So I should say brain is spelled B-R-A-N-E. And the idea is that if there is an extra dimension, we might be in some fixed location in that extra dimension. That is to say, we might be on something that's membrane-like. So why do we say membrane-like? Well, even just picture a shower curtain. If you have water droplets on a shower curtain, they're stuck on a two-dimensional surface in a three-dimensional room. And in the same way, we might be stuck on a three-dimensional surface, that is to say, this object called a brain, even if higher dimensions exist, which would be to say that everything we're made of, atoms, the electrons in the atom, the galaxies, us, we're stuck on a brain. We only can travel in this three-dimensional regime, even though this extra dimension might exist.
Well, let's take this apart a bit. We live, or at least we think we live, in a three-dimensional universe, and also there's the fourth dimension of time. But you're thinking of a fifth dimension. How would the fifth dimension operate?
Well, one possibility is if there's a fifth or even more dimensions, that they're just rolled up to a really tiny size. That is to say, the dimensions are so small that they just don't have any observable impact on our world, at least yet. Another even more dramatic possibility that my collaborator Raman Sundrum and I discovered in 1999 is you can have even infinitely large extra dimensions. It could be somewhat like ours in the sense that it extends infinitely far, but dramatically different in the sense that it's what we call warped. Now, what do we mean by warped? That's where the title of my book came from. We're harking back to Einstein's theory of general relativity, which told us how gravity is encoded in the geometry of space-time. It could be that there is a fifth spatial dimension, but that gravity, if you like, or geometry, is warped in that dimension. And it's a little hard to understand what that means, but you can almost think of the universe being funnel-shaped, or that things get rescaled as you go out in another dimension. They would be lighter or they'd be bigger as you go out into an extra dimension. So this warping of space-time is what makes it conceivable that this dimension can be infinitely big, because gravity is so warped, space-time is so warped, that gravity might be highly concentrated in a region and not just dissipate out into the extra dimension, even if it's infinitely big.
Lisa, is there any room in your theory for life on any of these extra dimensions or parallel universes?
There absolutely is room, not just in my theory, but in any theory in which there are these extra dimensions. And in particular, if there are other brains, there's plenty of space for there to be other life. The life will very likely not be the least bit like ours. One of the amazing things about these brains is that let's say it's true that everything we're made of, quarks and electrons and electromagnetism and strong nuclear force, let's say it's all stuck on our brain. That means if there is another brain, it would have fundamentally different chemistry, fundamentally different forces. It really would, in some sense, have different laws in nature. So we really don't know what's there. The only thing we do know, you might say, why do we care about it at all if it's so different? We do know gravity is shared among us, and therefore we can at least in principle communicate via gravity. So other things are not completely disconnected necessarily, but it could be very different and very hard to find.
Now, as you said, there is a scientific basis for this. Mm-hmm. You're thinking it's warped because it solves a problem. Well, what is the problem?
The actual history of it is even more convoluted than that. We were trying to solve a different problem. And in the process, we worked out a particular space-time geometry where there were brains and a fifth dimension. And we found that it was warped. We hadn't put in that it was warped. It came out warped. And we realized that it really does solve a couple of scientific problems. One of them, which is the one which is exciting because it will have testable consequences, is this question of the weakness of gravity. Really, it's a really big puzzle for particle physicists why gravity as a fundamental force is so much weaker than the other three forces we know about, that is to say electromagnetism and the strong and weak nuclear forces. It's hard to imagine that it's very weak, but if you think about it, you know, the classic example, you can pick up a paperclip with a magnet. That is to say, a tiny magnet can compete against the entire Earth. That is to say, the fundamental force is much weaker. If you were to separate two elementary particles and keep them a fixed distance apart, the force of gravity is totally negligible compared to the other forces. And it's not just a question of why is it so different. You might just be willing to accept it, even though it's an enormously big number. But it turns out that when you put together the principles of quantum mechanics and special relativity, your theory just looks almost inconsistent. It turns out you have to introduce an enormous fudge, what we call a fine tuning, to make the theory hold together and give predictions of the sort we know about. So the question becomes, is there a natural explanation for why gravity is so weak? And in this warped geometry, there is.
And one of the implications that you draw is that we, our universe, is this somewhat irrelevant sinkhole with a rather limited 3D cognizance, so to speak, removed from the center of the action. We have this weak gravity, sort of leftover gravity. It's so contrary to the way people first started to think about astronomy, the Earth being, of course, the center of everything around which everything, including the sun, revolved. It's interesting how every single piece of information that's been acquired has taken us farther and farther from the center.
And really, if you think about it, that makes sense. You know, as individuals, we also think we're the center of the universe till we realize that, unfortunately, we're actually not. And really, as you know more about the world, you find out that what we see is not all there is. I should say that, you know, I'm a model builder. We don't know these, all these ideas are right. These are models. These are possibilities for how the world can work, and they might be all right together. Some of them might be right. We found it's possible that we live in a sinkhole. That is to say, although we experience three dimensions of space, it could be that there are other regions that don't. Before that, people, even when they thought about extra dimensions, it was thought that everywhere the dimensions are rolled up, so everywhere people would experience, or whatever there was, would experience three dimensions of space. What we found is that it could really be a local phenomenon. It really could be that we are in a pocket of space where we experience things as three-dimensional, even though elsewhere there's not. And I actually find it gratifying because I like the idea that what we see isn't all there is, because it's probably true that what we see isn't all there is. And maybe even to this extent, even the dimensions of space that we experience. But the fact is that our personal limitations, that's an awful lot to impose upon the entire universe.
You're listening to ThoughtCast. I'm Jenny Atiyah, and I'm talking with the leading Harvard physicist, Lisa Randall. She's an expert in theoretical particle physics and cosmology, and her new book is called Warped Passages, Unraveling the Mysteries of the Universe's Hidden Dimensions. Lisa, your theory is right out there on the bleeding edge of theoretical physics, but of course, string theory is pretty much the conventional wisdom in physics right now. Simply put, it claims that the fundamental building blocks of the universe aren't particles, like atoms or quarks, but tiny, one-dimensional, vibrating strings. And it also argues, as you've mentioned, for the existence of up to 10 dimensions, six of which are curled in on themselves and impossible to detect. But in your book, you write that you're agnostic about string theory. Are you in competition with these guys?
You know, we're all trying to find the answers, and basically none of us know the answers yet. So it's really a question of approach and what you believe to take as solid. They're saying, we know string theory is right. We're going to derive the consequences. We're saying, we don't know what's right. The only things we really know are things that have been measured. And we're trying to say what ideas, what theoretical framework can underlie the phenomena we've seen. Why do we see the connections among masses and forces that we do? So it's not, I don't see it as competition. The methods maybe are different, but we're really trying to work together. I mean, that's one of the nice things about the physics of extra dimensions of space. We really saw a convergence. I mean, sometimes people will say, I do string theory. I mean, it really depends on your perspective.
Now, string theory is attempting to unite two different strands in physics. We have Einstein's general theory of relativity, and we have quantum mechanics, neither of which is perfect. And as you've mentioned, they can conflict or seem inconsistent. Are you trying to come up with a theory, a grand unified theory, like the string theorists, or is that not the tree you're barking up right now?
Well, people often make a big deal about the fact that quantum mechanics and general relativity are in conflict. In fact, generally, they're pretty happy to live side by side. They don't really get into trouble. It's at infinitesimally small distances or really high energies that we've run into problems. These are well beyond anything we're going to study experimentally, at least for the foreseeable future. So it's not something we have to solve to address many of the questions we want to know the answers to. So we're not just looking for the total theory of everything, but we are trying to understand how to get beyond what we know. And if there is a theory of everything, such as string theory, what are its likely consequences for our world? So in some sense, it sounds like less ambitious questions, but in some sense, it's a major project because we're really trying to understand the phenomena we see.
Can you encapsulate what your big idea is, what you're willing to go to the bank with right now?
I'm not sure what that question is. I mean, in the sense that, I mean, one of the ideas has to do with what we think might be experimentally testable. That is to say, this theory of the weakness of gravity. Another thing is, I think the fact is that we found after 70 years of people not realizing that extra dimensions could be infinite, whether or not that's actually true in the world, that was an amazing theoretical consequence that physicists had missed for years. People who study general relativity for a living had missed this. And we were coming at it from asking very different questions, and we kind of stumbled across this amazing consequence, but we recognized when we found it. And so I think that was just a major advance, whatever happens.
You're in a rather good position at the moment because these sorts of ideas have generally not been testable. But in a couple of years, as you know, a new particle accelerator is going to go online at CERN in Switzerland, a nuclear laboratory. It's called the Large Hadron Collider, and your theory will finally be put to the test. What will that test comprise of?
Again, I have to be really careful here because it's one of our theories. It's the one that has to do with the weakness of gravity that will be tested. And the reason it's testable is because it's giving consequences for physical phenomena we observe, like the weakness of gravity. And we do know that this collider will have the right energy to test theories that could explain that. The consequences are quite remarkable. Basically, we know gravity is in the extra dimensions, and there can be gravitons. What are gravitons? They're particles that communicate the force of gravity. They're the analog of photons, which communicate the force of electromagnetism. And if there are extra dimensions, these gravitons can travel in the extra dimensions. And so you would not only see the graviton that we believe communicates the force we know about, but there would be heavier analogs of the graviton. That is to say, they would interact somewhat like a graviton, but they would have bigger mass. And because the collider will have high energy, and we know E equals mc squared, so high energy means you can make something with big mass, we would be able to make these particles that travel in the extra dimensions. And they would have distinctive properties that would tell us that they are gravitons, and that would be conceivably evidence of extra dimensions, which we might find within the next 5 years. The machine will turn on in 2 years, but I'm not expecting to get all the answers right away. But within 5 years, we might know some answers.